Good morning, everyone. So as you heard, my name is Shaul. I am married to Jessica, and we have two beautiful daughters. And myself and Jess have been married for 7.5 years. In that 7.5 years, we've got a daughter named Lilia. She is 3.5. And then we've got another one called Liane, and she's 1. And that's just a little bit about my family. And later on, my family is actually going to play a big role in today's message. And I love the words that came out, because one of the things that we're going to speak about is blindness. One of the things we're going to touch on is knowing God. And one of the things that I want to touch on is how a race start counts. Caitlin, thank you very much. So the start that counts. And oftentimes, we emphasize it's not the way you start that matters, it's the way you finish. And that is very, very true. And scripturally, we see it's the way you finish your life at the end of the race that counts. But I want to stress the point that there's a start that also matters. Psychology teaches us that there's this effect that happens in the beginning of every year called the start year effect. Start fresh effect. And the start fresh effect is basically your brain, your heart, and you deciding that on a specific landmark time, you are going to start fresh with a clean slate. You're going to start fresh with your relationships, your marriage, your finances, your devotion, your diet, your budget, loving others, gym, whatever you decide, you decide that on this particular day, you are going to start afresh. And this happens not just New Year's, but the most common one is New Year's. For some of us, the most common one is Monday. I'll start with my gym on Monday. I'll start with my diet on Monday. But the reason I chose this specific topic of a start that counts is because it is the beginning of a new year. And without realizing it, a lot of us have made a start fresh commitment. In our hearts, we call it New Year's resolutions, and if you're really spiritual, you call it goals, all right? And these things, they say, and visions, and we feel, but they say that the study shows that within 6 weeks, a third of people give up on those goals. Now, my math is correct, 6 weeks is somewhere close to March, end of Feb, which isn't a very long time. They also say within 6 months, most people abandon those goals. Now, why? Why does that happen? Why do we set these goals, and why do people abandon them so quickly? And there's many reasons for that, but this morning I want to touch on 4 important reasons why people abandon these goals, resolutions, visions so quickly. And I'm going to use the story of Exodus. The big move. Yes, the big move. The move from where God spoke to Moses and he explained to Moses that he wants his people to be set free, no longer slaves to Egypt, but to go inhabit the promised land. And there's all the scripture references, because I'm going to paraphrase the story, and I'm going to use scripture in other places, but I'm going to paraphrase the story. And part of the big move was that there was a place where God told Moses, lead my people out now. Pharaoh, there was a lot of miracles and things that happened, and Pharaoh said, your people can go. And the Israelites started on this journey, and they were going, and they started their race. And what happened was, as they started their race, they started looking at how far they have to travel. And then they saw this sea in front of them, and then they heard the clapping and the thunderous noise of hooves coming behind them, because Pharaoh changed his mind and decided that he wants his slaves back. And in that moment, something happened in the hearts of the Israelites. See, they started the journey with motivation and purpose. They got to the Red Sea, and they were filled with fear and anxiety. The start that they needed to have was faith, assurance, and a testimony of what God has already done. And here we see that the first reason why we sometimes do not succeed in our goals is because of an over-reliance on motivation. the people that left Egypt, they were over-reliant on the motivation of wanting to get out, that they actually just started going without letting that turn into a conviction. And with them, you see that their motivation was, we just don't want to be slaves. And the problem with motivation is it's a great catalyst, or it's a great igniter, but it's a terrible sustainer. It doesn't keep you. Motivation doesn't last very long. If I ask all of us to share testimonies of when we get saved, we all share that in the beginning, we're super excited about the Word of God, and we're super excited about God because we're motivated in our heart because of something that God has done. But the moment the pressures of life, the stress, fear, and anxiety comes, it fills our heart rather than the realization of who God is in that moment. And the same thing happened with our friends, the Israelites. When they crossed the Red Sea, it didn't take them 6 weeks to forget about their goals. It took them 3 days to start grumbling and complaining. How often does our motivation lead to weak thoughts? And I want to ask us this morning. What motivates you? Is it money, friendship, stress, fear, pride, a sense of self-reliance, sport, music, academics, families, and hobbies? Some of these things are good. It's good to have a hobby. It's good to have friends. It's good to be wise with your money. But I want to say this. If our motivation is weak, our conviction is weaker. And if our motivation is driven by these things, it's driven by results and not by relationship. We sang earlier a beautiful part. We sang about the love of God. And I want to stress this. Let the love of God be the conviction that drives us. And it comes back to weak motivation leads to weak convictions. And Romans 12 verse 11 says, do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in the Spirit in serving the Lord. And that fervent is in red because it actually speaks about having and displaying a passionate intensity for the Lord. If you cross-reference that scripture, it says in Colossians 3 verse 23, whatever you do, do at it with your whole being as for the Lord and not for man. Whatever we do this year, let us start with it, with the love of God, the comfort of God, the peace of God, and do it as we're doing it for God, not for man. Because motivation dies out. Conviction brings me to my next point. Conviction brings consistency. But the second reason why people don't often make it and make their goals is because they lack consistency. This is my wife's bottle. I forgot mine. So one of the things that happens with consistency is actually Lily, she's our oldest. She loves to do HIIT exercises with her mom now. They do it in the living room. It's the cutest thing ever. I've got a bunch of videos if I ever want to blackmail them, but you can ask me for them. And they do these little exercises, and it's quite cute. But what Lily does is she does one push-up, and then she runs to me, and she's like, Papa, full, ecstatic. And obviously, I want to be a good dad. So I'm like, yo, yes. But then I have to explain to him, to her, that actually that one push-up is not enough to build what you need to build. And a lot with our consistency in Christ is like building muscle. We need to do it over and over and over to grow in it. And one of the key things for us with consistency is that consistency is a beautiful thing that will help us to succeed in what God has for us. There's this study done by the Center of Bible Engagement, and Kevin shared this once before, and John Bevere shares it quite often, where 40,000 people did the survey. And they found that if people spent more than 4 days, 4 days or more, in the Word of God, the decreased negative behavior and emotions are loneliness are dropped by 30%. Who loves to be lonely? All the introverts wanted to put up their hands now, but they're too shy, so they don't. Anger issues dropped by 32. Yo, that one's real, eh? Bitterness in relationships dropped by 40%. And we can go on and we can see how drastically things drop the more time we invest in God. So how do we build consistency? Because I think it's important not just to speak about what is this source of consistency, but how do we build consistency? The first one is to start small and have non-negotiable times with God. Put in your day a non-negotiable time. You cannot allow anything else to take that slot away from God. If it's 10 minutes, it's 10 minutes. But start small. Create clear routines. Focus on the why. And I put why in capital letters there because we're gonna explain the why in a minute. And you'll see the blindness come through. Limit distraction. Track progress. And celebrate small victories. Can I get my two volunteers to quickly come to the front here for me? You guys can stand right here. Fantastic. So did you... I started this message sharing that there's a race and the start matters and the start that counts. And one of the things that we often do is we treat every new year as a new sprint race. But it's not a new sprint race. We're in a marathon because if we read what Hebrews teaches us, we need to run the race with endurance. And endurance is a very key part of a marathon runner. And the one thing that I can say is that we can start every year as a place of a new section, a new season of what God is doing. But here's a little add-on. Every new year is not always a new season for you. When we are constant in the Word of God, we discover what season God has for us. But every new year is an opportunity for us to align our hearts with the season God has for us. So they're going to have a race, okay? And they're going to run straight down, and we're going to see who wins. Because actually, J.I. Packer says that if we disregard the study of God, we sentence ourselves to stumble and blunder through life blindfolded. If we do not spend time with the King, with our Lord, with our Savior, we will do what this young man is going to experience now in a few seconds. All right. Op drie, jullie gaan hardloop, okay? To die achterkant van die gebouw. The first one to make it wins. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go! Fantastic. He's on the right track now. No? Okay, great. You guys can come back. Thank you. Somebody help him with his blindfold. There we go. The problem is, if we don't spend time with God, we actually end up just like him on the wrong course, collapsing and crashing into people that we shouldn't be crashing into because Luan is baie groter as jy. Okay. The next one is, and this is an important one, we fail to trust the process. One of the things that the Israelites saw was all the miraculous things God did. And the next point is about knowing God. And they actually got to know God because they got to see God with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. But they lacked conviction, which then in turn, a lack of trust in what God said to them. And they ended up giving in to the pressures of this world, which was fear and anxiety. And if I look at the first 4 days of January, our world is in chaos. And if we cannot trust something, we are going to be in chaos. We need to trust the one thing that is constant, the one thing that is good, and the one thing that is loving, gracious, and always there. We sang, I put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Let that not just be a verse we sing, but a conviction we walk in. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will, and you will do what He shows you, which path to take. This is David Rashida. He ran the 800 meters. He was an 800 Olympian, and he ran it at the 2012 London Olympics. And one of the things that he did is, if you know anything about the 800 meters, you know that if you start too quick, you burn out. So if you start this year overexerting yourself and you don't follow the things of starting small, and you overexert yourself. If you start too slow, you get caught up by the pack and you can't actually get to the front because you burn up more energy to do that. So David did something which nobody thought of, and he started by going in front. And he started setting a pace of such a degree that the commentators actually looked at him and they said that there is something special brewing if he continues running this way. And what was beautiful about David was he ended the race first in 1 minute, 40 seconds, and it was a new world record. But he didn't just do it for him, because every person that ran behind him ran their personal best that race. If we trust God, He will not just use you in your own life, but He can actually use you in other people's lives. It's such a beautiful picture for us to know that God wants to use us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. Some of the weights that we do pick up are fears. It's unhealthy expectations. It's anxiety. It's keeping up with the Joneses. And then there's certain sins that we pick up, and John actually alluded to the fact that we need to lay these things aside. And it was so cool to see that this comes through this morning, that God is calling us to run a race free in Him. And it can't happen with the last one. We'll get back to those. The last reason why people often fail at their goals with a fresh start effect is a lack of knowledge. Often, we don't know how to achieve them. You say, I want to start a diet, but we don't know how to diet. I want to exercise, but we don't know what exercises to do, because there's like 50,000 different voices. We say we want to save, but we don't know how to save. We say we want to do all of these things, but we don't know. And Hosea 4 verse 6 tells us so beautifully, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I highlighted the word knowledge there, because in other translations, the word knowledge there is actually for a lack of knowing me. The race starts and ends with knowing Him. There's another verse that I want to highlight quickly, and it's John 17 verse 3, and it says, and this is eternal life. What is eternal life? That they would know you. And that know in the Greek is ginosko. I'm not Greek, so I can't pronounce it that well. Which means it's an experiential knowing and not simply intellectual understanding of God. It's knowing who He is in your heart, knowing that He is Father, knowing that He's Abba, knowing that He's Savior, knowing that He is my peace in the middle of it all. Do we know Him as King? Do we know Him as Lord? Do we know Him as Savior? And for us to start this race, the way that counts is to start it with Him. One of the things that David did well was he knew how he wanted to start. We need to know that we need to start with Him. And I said Him there, in red you'll see He is Messiah, which means He is my Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Next thing that David did well is he endured the pain of the 400 meters. We need to endure with Him. He is my peace. And then he finished his race strong. We need to finish with him, for he is my strength. This year, may it not be said that we are people that run purposefully, without purpose. But may it say that we run with conviction and understanding of a King that loves us.